like an angel.
Walk like an angel.
Walk like an angel.
Walk like an angel.
Talk like an angel. But I got wise. You're the devil in disguise. Oh, yes, you are. Devil in disguise.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. As always on Wednesdays, our co-host today is Greg Bach. Jay Madnair is on the board. And we could not be more excited or surprised.
I know.
With our next guest.
This is shocking.
It's shocking that we got him. I was surprised when he offered to spend some time with us. And I'm just very excited to be able to ask some of the questions that I feel like weren't answered during the debate.
Yeah.
And the thing that's crazier is in the next segment, we have an even bigger guest.
I know.
Neither of which is definitely not an impersonator.
I agree. The persons who people are going to be talking to, definitely those people.
Definitely those people. Definitely sounds like them.
Yep.
Definitely things that they would say.
Definitely looks like them.
Definitely looks like them for those who are watching the live stream.
Yep.
But ladies and gentlemen, our senior senator, Ron Johnson, is here with us for the next 15 minutes.
Thank you so much, Kristen. It's great to be here to speak directly to the woke mob. Anytime you get the chance to address literally dozens of listeners through the medium of AM radio or whatever exactly this is, you have to jump at the chance. So thank you so much for having me.
You know, I'm going to not be offended by that because we are a growing show, but I think we have more than a dozen listeners, but maybe not. But, you know, I want to cut right to the chase because we only have a little bit, the senator, we only have a couple of minutes with you. And so the big question I think is, you know, at the debate, you mentioned how the FBI set you up. Can you elaborate on this accusation? Do you have any evidence to even support this?
Yeah, so I mean, it's not an accusation. You know, the way that you phrase that, I think it's just kind of a liberal approach of not believing what a senior senator in your state would be saying. You know, there's a lot of acronyms out there that I'm afraid of. And, you know, the FBI is one of them. You've got the FBI, you've got CRT, you know, you got A&W, and if I have to be honest, they're all after me, all of them. Every single one of them. So you have your UWM that's teaching that CRT to young girls with UTIs, and for me, I can't trust that. So you know, that's something I'm trying to get in front of, and I'm glad you brought that up.
Senator, were you taken aback when everyone in the audience started laughing at you when you were saying those things at the debate?
You know, for once, it would be nice if we had some people that actually took politics seriously in the state of Wisconsin. But I'll be honest, I don't even think that laughing is appropriate for Wisconsin families. You know, I don't know if I've ever seen Tony Evers laugh. I don't think he has the air capacity in his pencil neck body to actually get out a hearty laugh. That's something that if you want to vote for that, go ahead and go right along with the liberals. But, you know, I'm actually okay with people having a good laugh every once in a while.
So, Senator, definitely not impersonator Senator, but real Senator Ron Johnson. You know, you've been in office for 12 years and you kept saying with the Democrats in charge, but you've been there for a while. And so when you talk about having a plan for improving the state and the lives of those living in Wisconsin, what is that? How is that different from what you've been doing?
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because there's a lot of things that we can do to improve the state. And for me, it's a two-step process right now. Number one, you know, we've got a budget that we can dedicate to resources that are actually going to help working families in the state of Wisconsin. So I'd like to take, you know, a small amount of our state budget, let's say $100 million, $1 billion, and just get that right to Foxconn. If we could get that in front of some people who can create jobs, that's going to help working families in the state of Wisconsin. And then the other item that I think is probably on the minds of most people in the state of Wisconsin is Hunter Biden's laptop. I think if we can nail down those two things and get those taken care of, that's going to get Wisconsin back to work.
That's, you know, I mean, those are very interesting ideas there, Senator. As Kristen mentioned, you've been in office for 12 years. It seems like it's been much, much longer than that. It seems almost like 100 years now. But
that's because you look like Hagrid's ghost, Greg. Your life just seems a lot longer, I think, in general. Maybe that's a problem for you, but I think Wisconsinites know that I'm here to deliver on the promises of the Republican Party. You know, if you want to go ahead and and talk about how long I've been in office. That's fine. But, you know, you can vote for, you know, Senator Evers, or you can vote for Mandela Barnes. But for me, they're all concerned with, you know, what I call the three P's, Greg, and that's potholes, potheads, and pots and pants, because nobody wants to work at McDonald's. You're going to be cooking for yourself, okay? Okay? Right. Which it seems like you're pretty good at, judging by the size of you.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you for that, sir. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, wondering, how do you plan to bridge the gap between your constituency and the people living in, let's say, Madison or Milwaukee, and those who've traditionally voted on the other side of the aisle?
Well, I think there's one way to really bring the state together, and that's through redistricting. If we can redistrict Milwaukee to be a part of Chicago, I think that just takes them out of the state completely. What I'd like to do is, you know, we got rid of the voting boxes. If we can just get rid of the votes altogether in Milwaukee County, then I think that's going to be, you know, something that will really bring the state together. And I'm the person who can do that, you know, for working families in Wisconsin. You think about all the things I've been able to hide and get rid of, you know, all the plastics that my family dumps into the water, you know, the money that we hide in places like Foxconn. If there's one thing we can do, it's we can get rid of those votes in Milwaukee County.
So not impersonator Ron Johnson, what about your upbringing in Wisconsin has prepared you to continue being the U.S. Senator?
Well, you know, my first job in the state of Wisconsin was I was a caddy. I carried bags for rich white guys. And, you know, I kind of do that today as I, you know, try and support some other people who are influential in politics. A lot of them live in Moscow now. But that's, you know, part of what my upbringing was here in the state of Wisconsin. I'm focused, you know, I'm focused on getting in front of people and helping people, you know, carrying the bag for the people of Wisconsin. Even getting to the youth. A lot of people tell me, like, I'm this aging politician who, you know, maybe is more effective at talking to the elderly generation. It's great to be here on your little radio show, but I can literally talk to all your grandmas at once if I go on Fox News. So I'm used to getting that message out, but I'm creeping into, you know, younger and younger demographics, and I'm going to be able to communicate and get that message to bring people together. You know, if you look at what your little children are watching on YouTube, I'm interrupting those YouTube shows that your kids are watching to talk about abortions. So I think that's just something that I can bring to the state of Wisconsin that's going to make everybody come together.
I mean, I definitely all good ideas you have right there, sir. I can't disagree with any of them, really, when it comes down to it. What is it, though, about a Mandela Barnes specifically that you feel makes him not a good fit for the state of Wisconsin?
You couldn't even compliment him. Yeah. You couldn't get one compliment out in the last debate. Yeah.
Well, I couldn't think of what the meaning of the word compliment was. I mean, I don't really agree with using such big words at a debate when we're talking to the state of Wisconsin, where our education is pretty much dead last in the union. So if they could simplify and make some of those words a little bit smaller. But Mandela Barnes, to me, you know, first of all, Mandela Barnes, named after the Mandela effect, you know, something where you think something happened, but it actually didn't, which is kind of what Joe Biden is going through every day of his life, kind of doesn't know where he is. Mandela Barnes represented a city like Milwaukee that just has tremendous problems, just a lot of problems going on in general. So, you know, they have this whole situation where they tell us in Green Bay and up north, you know, that we're the type of people who say, not in my backyard. Well, in Milwaukee, they have this new saying that's, where exactly is my car? All right, because Mandela Barnes has those people stealing your car every 5 minutes in the city of Milwaukee, and that's why I feel like you can't trust him. You know, that's part of the reason I want to get in there and change the situation for everybody and kind of remove Mandela Barnes from power, even though I've been the incumbent for 10 years. But really, it's about taking him out.
Got it. Well, you know, we only have a couple more minutes with you, Senator Ron Johnson.
Definitely the Senator Ron Johnson.
And we always, with our candidates we get on, do a speed round. And so I'd love to do that with you right now. Although our first question is usually first job. And we just heard that your first job was being a caddy. So we'll go straight to the second question. What was your favorite stay-at-home activity during the pandemic?
Powerlifting. I know a lot of people see me as kind of a wimp or a turkey neck kind of booger eater. But, you know, when you're at home with your wife and they don't want anything to do with you, you just get in the garage and crank it out.
Person you'd most like to meet, dead or alive?
Cavalier Johnson. And most people don't know this, but he only stands about 2 foot tall. So I've been looking for him. I have not seen him. I think he sleeps in a matchbox. So if you see him, maybe riding on a leaf blowing in the wind, you point him out to me. I'd like to have a few words with him.
Something about you that would surprise people.
I'm a big metalhead. That's one
Slayer?
Thing people think.
Slayer?
Yeah, Slayer, Anthrax, a lot of those bands, Nickelback. I like them all.
Most recent movie or TV show you'd recommend?
I wouldn't recommend any recent movies because if you go woke, you go broke. And that's what Hollywood's doing right now. So I would just go back in time, watch Rambo or watch Rocky. That's what I would suggest just to see some white guys winning.
Well, we usually ask what's the favorite thing about your district, but since your district is the entire state of Wisconsin, what's your favorite thing about Wisconsin?
It's hard to say what my favorite thing about Wisconsin is. I always think about it when I'm overseas, how much I miss Wisconsin when I'm spending time in some of my favorite places, Leningrad, Moscow, when you're floating down the Volga, it's hard not to think about the Fox River or the Fox cities.
Foxconn.
Or Foxconn, for that matter. I think about one of those places where I can really just kind of meditate and zone out because there's nothing going on. I think about Foxconn. So I would say maybe that orb down in Pleasant Prairie is one of my favorite places. It just reminds me of total nothingness and helps me be zen.
What's your walk-up song, Senator?
That's a great question. I would say No More Mr. Nice Guy. I think was that Alice Cooper? I think that speaks a lot to myself because I haven't been nice to a single person and nobody's been nice to me for as far as I can remember, which is fine by me. I'm not here to be nice to people. I'm here to get things done.
And then finally, what's still on your Wisconsin bucket list, Senator?
Well, I did say meet Cavalier Johnson. So, I guess that's my one thing that I haven't done. But this Christmas, my wife is going to buy me a microscope and a telescope and in case he's up in a tree or something.
All right. Well, that will about do the time that we have with you today, Senator. Thank you so much for your time and your answers and your honesty.
Well, you're welcome.
All right. Well, when we come back, big surprise, not an impersonator.
We actually
also on the same day got Tony Evers.
Wow.
So stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You're the devil in disguise. Oh, yes, you are. Devil in disguise. Oh, yes, you are. Devil in disguise.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride. This is a big day. Huge day. We just had Senator Ron Johnson, definitely not an impersonator. We spent a little time with us.
Definitely.
And now, in this quick 8-minute segment, we also have Governor Tony Evers. Thank you so much for being here, Governor.
Well, thank you so much for having me on your show. And I like the idea of being quick. Which is something that people don't say about me very often. So thanks for that.
So Governor Evers, you had a debate on Friday. How are you feeling coming off of that performance?
Exhausted would probably be a word that I would use. I think a lot of people look at me and they say, here's a guy with a lot of energy who eats a ton of ice cream and is probably up really early in the morning. But just to be arguing with anyone at all kind of upsets my constitution as a Wisconsinite.
One of the things we talked about earlier in the show, Governor, is that Tim Michaels, your opponent, wants to split the DNR basically into two pieces, business and hunters. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about that sort of method with the Department of Natural Resources?
Well, I love splitting things, splitting the bill or Banana splits I also like. So I did kind of like the idea of a split, but, you know, for him, I think splitting is kind of the thing that he does the most because he lives in Connecticut. So, you know, generally he's splitting out of Wisconsin to go back to where he really lives, which is on the East Coast. You know, Tim Michaels kind of treats Wisconsin how, you know, when you park your pop-up at the church and you give him a couple extra dollars, that's how Tim Michaels treats Wisconsin. He just kind of parks his truck here.
So after spending 4 years in office, Governor, how are the dang roads doing? That was one of your big, you know, political promises. We were going to fix the dang roads. How are you feeling about what you were able to do in the last 4 years?
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because one of the things that we ran on was to fix the dang roads. Right. And we thought that was a pretty brave thing to run on, because dang is actually the harshest swear word that I've ever said in my entire life. So, you know, I know you're going to be paying the FCC because we've said dang now 4 times. And I think that's a collective $4,000 to go to the FCC. But I feel pretty good about what we've done about the dang roads. We were able to fix 2 of them in 4 years. So I think, you know, if you keep electing me, then good things will happen. You know, a lot of people say, well, when are you going to get to the Beltline in Madison? And I tell people, you should just avoid that. Okay. Treat it like how Tim Michaels treats the entire state. Just kind of stay away is what I would say. So I think we've done pretty good, all things considered, because I haven't hit a deer with my car this year. And I don't know if you all have, but if you haven't hit a deer, then I would think about maybe voting for Tony Evers.
You know, you're talking about moving forward after these 4 years. If elected, what is like one of the major components of your administration? Like, what do you want to achieve in the next 4 years if the good people of Wisconsin give you the office again?
Oh, gosh, that's a great question, Greg. I didn't realize it was 4 years long that I'd be there. But I think one of the things I think about is my time as a teacher, that, you know, I think, what did people like when I was a teacher? And one of the things that the kids really enjoyed was pajama day. So I think as a state, if we can come together and all put on our pajamas and go to work maybe 2 or 3 times, that should probably bring people together in a way that this state hasn't seen in quite some time. Another thing that, you know, maybe we could all think about is maybe the Badgers could have a coach for, let's say, 4 games in a row. I think that might be something that people could look forward to, and put a big smile on everyone's face, which is kind of my number one thing.
All right, Governor, we are running out of time, but we want to make sure that we have the speed round that we typically do with all the candidates who come on. So what was your first job?
You know, my first job, like a lot of people, was pouring ice cream. And that's where I found my first true love, which is, you know, ice cream.
What was your favorite stay-at-home pandemic activity?
Powerlifting.
Also, that was actually... you and Senator Ron Johnson have that in common.
Yes, we do. We try to outdo each other every once in a while. We both maxed out this past pandemic at 20 ounces, so...
Who's the person you'd most like to meet?
Cavalier Johnson. I have been looking for him. He's just a wisp of a man, but great stature in his accomplishments.
What's something about you that would surprise people?
Outside of powerlifting, I think just that, you know, I love to get out there in the state of Wisconsin and go hunting. So I think people don't know that I have the urge to kill in my body.
What's the most recent movie or TV show you'd recommend?
Oh, gosh, I guess I would say, you know, Is It Cake? I think that's one of those shows that just a mystery. And I don't like to find out. I find it too scary. So I just look at the item and then I turn it off.
What's your favorite thing about Wisconsin?
I would have to say the people, the fine people of Wisconsin, and the older, the better. And that's the thing, that here in Wisconsin, we got a lot of old folks. So I'm just here to try and keep them alive and fill them with soft serve.
What's your walk-up song, Governor?
If I had to pick a walk-up song, I would say Hot for Teacher. I think that's a good one, Greg. You know it.
Definitely.
It's a great riff. Van Halen, not Van Hagar,
Never.
Some of my opponents. And that's one of the things I'm running on is Van Halen, not Van Hagar.
And then finally, Governor, before we let you go, what's still on your Wisconsin bucket list?
I've done it all. So I have to say maybe leaving the state one time. I haven't tried it yet because I've been too scared.
Definitely not an impersonator.
Definitely
the real Governor Tony Evers. Thank you so much for spending time with us today.
My goodness.
Really illuminating.
Embarrassment of riches today on our interviews.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break to recover from this. These two back-to-back interviews that we had. Such big hitters.
Yeah.
Stick with us as we debrief what just happened on this show. Yeah. This is Ask Coast Wisconsin. Don't let the handshake and the smile fool ya. Take my advice, I'm only trying. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. If you have stuck with us through the last hour of, or half hour of silliness, thank you for
silliness.
Playing.
That was important political discourse brought to you by the good people of As Goes Wisconsin. If you're out there listening and not appreciating it, shame on you.
Groundbreaking journalism.
Thank you.
Yes. Cut to the heart.
Where's my Pulitzer?
Well, if you are just joining us, you missed some really titillating questions from not the impersonator of Ron Johnson or Tony Evers.
No.
But now we have the actual man, myth, legend, veteran Milwaukee comedian, Ryan Mason, impersonator.
As impersonated by J. Tyler Menz.
Yes, exactly. Ryan, thank you so much for playing along with us and letting more people hear what all of us who actually got to see you at the Roast of Milwaukee do, which was your Ron Johnson impersonation, and clean it up a little bit and bring it to the airwaves.
Oh yeah, thank you. Yeah, thanks for having me. Fun to do. Like Ron Johnson, what a like weird voice to carry around in your head.
Ron Johnson's very mean though. He was mean to me. I'm just gonna put that right out there, Ryan.
To be fair, I'm mean to you in real life.
That's fair.
So that's true. That was the part I can channel pretty easily.
Yeah.
So had you done before you did the bit for the Roast of Milwaukee, had you done this impersonation prior to that, or did you work on it for that show?
No, I've done impressions before in my comedy act. So I'm a stand-up comedian. I've done it for 10 years and traveled around the country doing comedy. And I'll do impressions from time to time, but no, not Ron Johnson. Like specifically kind of a person I tend to avoid, I guess. But I spent a lot of time kind of just practicing that voice and walking around my house, talking to my dog about Wisconsin politics.
So how do you, when we were at the Roast a couple weeks ago, I had a joke where I was trying to do a Giannis impression. I was very bad at it.
Very Russian.
Very Russian. My Giannis impression was very Russian. And then obviously, of course, I got shown up by Ton Johnson, who does a very good,
an awesome impression.
Oh my God. He's so funny, but also his Giannis impression was spot on.
Yeah.
So how do you even start to master impressions? Is it just something you either have or you don't?
No, I think anybody can do it. I honestly do. But you have to find one word or two words or a really short phrase that helps you to get started.
Yep.
So for Ron Johnson, I always start with his name, Ron Johnson, because it all sits back of your throat. And then pick a phrase Wisconsin families that's the sort of thing that you do and just say it over and over and over again. But that's how you do it. That's how I learned from other comedians.
Oh, that's funny. Cause I went at the, you didn't do it as much today, but the, okay. All right.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
He does.
And when I listen to his interviews, he does do that a lot. So then for today you just did Tony Evers, but you haven't performed that before.
No, but I think his voice, like I was listening to him, and it's hard not to be like extremely soft spoken, because he's not as soft spoken as you would imagine when he does talk in public and stuff, but he's not the most aggressive like talker. He's actually seems like a good listener because he's a teacher. So I did listen to some of his press conferences and things of that nature. But I just tried to soften it up a little bit.
That's so funny. And so when you're not doing, but do you do, when you do your stand up, is there a lot of impressions in it, or is it something completely different usually?
It's a little bit different, but I tend to do impressions of like people in my life. So yeah. Greg knows this. I'll talk about my mom. I
Deborah do impressions Mason, of my mom, baby.
Debbie Mason. I do impressions of my children or of like people in your general life that you might run into. And I find that that's like an effective way, because sometimes people, if you start doing an impression of somebody people don't know, that can be somewhat difficult. But I tend to like just do voices of just like kind of characters, but not necessarily specific individuals.
Right.
Like my mom, she talks like this, you know, just kind of. She's very sweet, and like it's fun to like play in that voice.
Would you, Ryan, I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but would you do me a favor and do the great people of Wisconsin who are listening a favor, do an impression of your mom telling you and your brother just to have fun? And what is her catchphrase?
Oh, my mom's like big catchphrase is always like, come on guys, get into it, okay? Everybody get into it. All right. You know, we're having a good time. Just want everybody at the party to have the most fun. You know, that's like my mom. She'll be like, if Tom Petty's on the radio, she'll be like, you guys get into it, Tom Petty. That's my mom.
Our guest for pretty much this whole hour so far, even though he was playing Ron Johnson and then he was playing Tony Evers.
What?
But in reality, it is Milwaukee veteran comedian Ryan Mason is with us right now. And so you do your mom. What do your kids sound like?
They're a little weirder. Like my kids are kind of like, a lot of those jokes are about them discovering their bodies or like saying words that they shouldn't say, some of which can't be said on the radio.
Fair.
So I was telling this joke. My son found out that I do comedy and that I make money doing it. So I told him that, and he was like, well, let me tell you a joke, and then you go tell that joke, and then you bring me the money. So here's his joke.
That is sound logic.
Yeah, like he's an entrepreneur, all right? So here's his joke. He's 5 years old. All right, here's his joke. Did you hear about the giraffe that got too tall?
No.
He died.
$5, please.
Pay me.
I mean, pay me. So that's his joke.
Did you have to explain, like, what are you going to explain to him, like, what a punchline is? Or do you just let him, you laugh?
But he's well, Ryan good. Barely knows what one is anyways. He just gets up there and just true. Like, rah, rah, improv. What?
I'm going to let him figure it out on his own.
He
I
died.
Like that, though. It's a left turn, you know?
It is. I mean, because truly when people talk about, like, what is the science of laughter? And so much of it is sometimes it's when you get caught off guard. And it's something that you're not expecting when there's actually no danger. Like once you figure out, well, I'm not in danger, but it surprised me. So I laughed.
Yeah.
And I would say, yes, was not expecting that the giraffe who got too tall
and
died.
And the way he says it on stage, too, and you delivered it pretty much the way, but like, it's like even bigger when you're on stage, he died. Like just, it's just so.
I think that too, like you bring up a good point. Cause like doing political humor right now, there's so much of it where you're like, I try to be very absurdist and we're doing comedy and we're all having a laugh. But if you really dig in and you're thinking about the world and you're thinking about politics and the state of politics right now, like sometimes it can get so extreme that people don't want to laugh.
Yeah.
So it's fun to like do these impressions where we're just being as absurd as possible.
And that's what it was funny in the preparation of wanting, like, as soon as I saw you perform, I was like, we have to figure out a way to do this on, because they didn't record the roast. And so no one really got to like see what you did, which was so funny. And so I was like, well, how can we make this work on the radio? Because I don't want to get in trouble for fooling people into thinking that we actually have Ron Johnson or Tony Evers.
You thought it was going to be like a War of the World situation?
Yeah, or like, because it's radio.
Like under their beds or
like,
something?
Well, no, just because kind of. But like, yeah, it's like, I don't.
Tony Evers is into powerlifting.
I think like, that's the comedian in me is just like, how much trouble could we actually get in?
Yeah.
Like, could we did it and we're like, yeah, this is actually him. And like, they try to sue you or whatever. Luckily that blanket of oh, it's just jokes.
It's just jokes. Like, I That is a nice barrior. Like we're just
that's my joking
dog. Around.
Sorry.
For the first time ever, it's just jokes. People is actually a viable and usable response to people getting upset. I can't handle it when Ryan's seen it a thousand times. You see a comic going on stage and saying something really out of date, really out of touch with the world, and no one laughs. And they go, "They're just jokes, people." And they're like. Are they? No one's laughing.
Well, it's funny because Ryan, in your stand-up, obviously we just did a political satire with the impersonations, but it sounds like your stand-up isn't necessarily very political.
I'm pretty apolitical with my stand-up because I'll play in front of all kinds of audiences. I mean, I've played in front of 100% conservative audiences and huge venues. I've performed at like protests and like really liberal venues. But I feel like that's a really good challenge for comedians. It's like, hey, if you're really good at this, you should be good at it in front of all kinds of different people. So, you know, it helps because then you get booked in different places. You know, I'll be at the Cedarburg Cultural Center. And I know it's like, if I go up there, I want to appeal to everybody at that place, you know.
You're welcome for that gig, by the way. So
no, yeah, thank you, Greg. So like I've always been the type of person who like I'm such a narcissist, I just want everybody to like me.
as we were talking about healing the world with comedy, the Bo Burnham song that he had on his special Inside, and that joke of, well, I'm just, this is still a way for me to heal the world while I'm still getting all the attention and feeding my ego.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I've never I think there was a time in my like comedy career where I tried to be like real edgy, and usually that's younger comedians in general. But now that I'm a little bit older, like, hey, if you've got money, I'll go and tell you jokes.
Well, also, I mean, the thing is, I think, you know, one of the big distinctions too is that when you're a younger comic, like, and I'm not even talking about like someone who's newer, I'm talking about someone who's like younger in age, they don't have a ton of life experience and they know the comedy around them. So they want to emulate that comedy on stage. And most of the times they're emulating comics who, I shouldn't say emulating, they're copying and failing. Yeah. They're comics who have been in the game for 20, 25, 30 years and know how to write a specific point of view and talk about edgy, touchy subjects while not coming off sound like a terrible person. Whereas like you, Ryan, you have a lot of, like, you know, full-time job, wife, kids, like you've got so much to pull from.
we'll hold on to them as long as we
She's
can.
Probably listening.
But like, you've got a whole swath of experience in your life that, like, I mean, if you want, that you don't need to be quote unquote edgy. You can talk about, I mean, if you want to talk politics, I'm sure you could, but I understand why you don't. I don't either when I'm on stage. It's just not something I'm into. But
yeah, I'd rather talk about a thing that happened to me on the bus or like, hey, here's a weird rock I found.
Yeah.
Because that's for everybody for sure, 100%.
Yeah. And do you think that then the place for political comedy is more on a show, on maybe like a one-off TikTok versus live stand-up? Because I think that there's so much of a threat of that, of like, once you're in a live scenario, you want to bring people together. You want everyone to laugh. You want camaraderie and things that are relatable. And unless you're very, very skilled or you're famous enough that everyone knows what they're getting into once they're performing.
If you're famous enough, it's your audience. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. But it's like, I don't know. And this is even the little stand-up I've done. It was like, write jokes about what you know versus things that end up being topical jokes that you can't reuse or
the venue
refine.
Can help too. Like if it's a venue that is just like set up for a specific type of comedy, or the show is billed as like a political comedy, I've done those shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think it's really about your audience and what you can bring people to. And also, you can bring people to new ideas through laughing, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's a thing about like, hey, this person's funny, so now I kind of follow what they're saying. I think that's like part of that is just comedy in general. Like, if you're funny, people are going to listen to you and they're going to like you.
I think you can be political or tackle social issues without being overt about it. You know, if I see a female comedian on stage talking about the, like, everything she goes through in this world, pressures, all those things, those are all statements, but they're also wrapped around comedy. They're also wrapped around a joke. So they're not, she's not like, this, like this hypothetical comedian I'm talking about, right? But there are a lot out there. They're not shoving an agenda down your throat. They're just simply telling you about their lives, and they're exactly. simply telling you about what they go through, but they're also just making it the funniest stuff you're going to see. And I think that's an important and very cool way of, I would never like tag them as a political comic, but like, you know, you talk about social issues, but you're also really funny about it. You know, I think that's a smart.
And I sprinkle in a couple of stories about boogers just to get you on my side. That's
and
like,
Ryan, flick them at you.
Ryan loves booger jokes. Oh, it's just nothing.
Pretty soon you're voting the way I want. Yeah. You know, that's how it works.
All right. Well, Ryan, where can people find you and your comedy and where you're performing next and all of the things?
Just follow me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Qdoba Gooding Jr. And that's true.
Just
that's
change
real.
It to your name, dude.
No, I'm going to leave it. It feels memorable. And then, that's a good place to follow me. It's just on Twitter. I have a Halloween show on Monday at Landmark Lanes, which is part of the Voyager production team.
That's Monday?
And then I'll be at the Cedarburg Cultural Center on 11/12.
All right. Thank you so much, Ryan Mason. We'll check you out there. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stay here.